Hey everybody, it's your boy Kendo, the host and GM of this here podcast, Tales Yet Told. First of all, I want to thank you all so much for listening to our 10th episode. Look at this. Look, who would have thought we've gotten here? I kind of did, and I'm glad we did, and I'm glad you were here with us. Second of all, I do really want to stress the importance of our content warnings that are in the description of every episode, especially starting with this episode and the next couple of episodes, and possibly generally just in the future as well. Not to get terribly specific, but the tone of the show starting from here on gets a little darker. And especially this episode and the next couple of episodes, I think the next two episodes to be more specific, but please do check the descriptions. If you have any form of severe arachnophobia, you might want to skip the latter half of this episode and the next two episodes. We're going to be dealing a lot with descriptions of spiders, sounds of spiders, and even body horror related to spiders. So, if that is a thing you're uncomfortable with, we completely understand. I'm going to be making essentially a kind of like summary after the episodes come out that will detail the list of events of what happened and maybe kind of take out some of the spidery stuff just to make sure that you can continue to listen to the podcast and still get the full experience knowing what happened in those episodes you had to skip. Again, completely understand. Your safety and the safety of the players are my first priority, and the last thing I want to do is have you miss out on the experience because I decided to put spiders in the campaign. I personally really like spiders, but I understand that there are people who are very freaked out about them, and that's totally valid, and you are valid. So check the episode descriptions. I'll be putting a timestamp for when the spider stuff begins in the episode so you can know ahead of time when you need to stop, if you need to stop. And yeah, that's it. So on with the episode. Strangers in the Wood is an actual play series drawing elements from gothic fairy tales and 80s fantasy and sci-fi action and horror films. As such, a list of content warnings will always be made available in the description. The sounds of, well, the pretty typical sounds of a carnival. You see, at the Botanical Carnival, we realized that ain't nothing more beautiful than our own humanity, you understand? Ain't nothing more beautiful than life worth living. You see, going alongside that, ain't nothing more valuable than secrets we gain during that life. So, instead of money, we take secrets. They deposit the seeds into like a little bucket that is behind the stand. And you see it be dragged off of the stand and then like pulled up and over the stand by what looks like maybe an invisible wire.
What else you have to say?
Elsie doesn't like you, so she doesn't want to say anything.
Can she say why she doesn't like me?
Yes.
Why is that?
I don't want to tell you.
Mm-hmm. Who's Elsie?
Elsie's my friend.
Dakota turns to Walter and goes, imaginary friend.
She's right here.
So, Elsie, do you remember when you met Dorothy?
I just don't trust him.
Okay. I think I do.
Maybe you shouldn't.
I said she doesn't want to talk about it.
Oh.
Dakota knows and feels deep down that they've been a really, really bad sibling.
You're not bad, Dakota. I mean...
I don't know about that.
What makes you think you're bad?
I seem to bring trouble everywhere I go. While Walter's walking away, Dakota kind of scooches to the edge of the bench and kind of leaves a spot open between her and Marley if Dorothy wants to sit there and kind of pats it and then looks away.
Dorothy sits down on the ground.
The three of you wake up the next morning. You find yourself in a small tent of sorts, surrounded by crates and boxes, barrels and materials and all sorts of stuff that is being kept in the small storage tent that you all have been given permission to spend the night in. The previous night during your time at the botanical carnival, Walter, you went out, spoke to one of the carnival attendants that you had met the previous night, Olivia, the octopus who was working the funnel cakes stand, and she basically gave you permission to spend the night in the supplies tent, which is where you all are now. A column of light shines through, like, in the opening gap of the tent, leading in from outside. As you all, I imagine, have found some, like, bags of things to, like, kind of use as cushions as you all have kind of made this large puddle of yourselves in the kind of corner of this room. And from outside, you can hear the hustle and bustle of, I mean, whatever is going on out there, probably the setting up of the next day of activities for the carnival to continue. Who do you think wakes up first?
I feel like Marley's probably the most disciplined out of all of us, yeah?
Probably true.
Okay. Of the players, who do you all think wakes up first?
I'm a little kid. I probably wake up early. I don't know what it's like to be tired all the time.
Yeah, that tracks. That tracks.
That's true. Okay. Dorothy, you're the first one to wake up. Question. I know we left off with you kind of being in a bit of a sore spot with the group. Did you, like, sleep in the same corner as everyone, or did you, like, make your own space? What do you imagine Dorothy did as far as that goes?
I'd imagine that Dorothy has gone along with whatever plans have been made with the group as, like, you know, whatever area we're sleeping in, like, she helped make, you know, a bed and stuff like, but, like, she's basically been radio silent the whole time. She has not been chatty. She has not been talking. She has been very much in her own head and distinct and, yeah, definitively not talking to Dakota, for sure.
Gotcha. Okay. So when you wake up, again, you find yourself in this small, like, storage tent. You wake up and you take stock. You look around. You see Elsie is sleeping, of course, nearby you as well. You wake up. She still seems to be asleep. And, you're kind of looking around and you notice that you don't see Marley at first. There's, like, kind of this open spot over by where, like, Dakota and Walter are, where you know that, she was before. And you know, you kind of look around to see where she is, and you see that she's on the other side of the tent currently, and she looks like she is bent. She's bent over by one of the crates. It looks like she has her back to you, and it looks like she's looking at something. And yeah, that's what you see.
Okay. I lean over and shake Elsie awake.
You shake gently, her. Of course. Yeah. You you kind of nudge her and you see.
Wake up! No, I just.
you I nudge just, her.
Like, poke her. Yeah.
Yeah. You nudge her and you see she kind of wakes up. Her eyes slowly opening, and then she does like a little stretch and a wide yawn and says, "Is it morning already?"
Yeah, it is.
Oh, I want to sleep. 5 more minutes. And she rolls over to the other side, like looking away from you.
Okay. I let that lie. I just go ahead and get up, and I'm gonna wander over toward Marley, like just trying to get a look at like what she's doing, but not going over with like the intention of interacting with her per se.
Yeah.
Just like this is the only person I see that I also know. Yeah. What are they doing?
Yeah. You kind of like go over, try to like get a better angle. You see, it looks like she's holding like a small.
Oh, wait, is my pumpkin next to me?
Yeah.
Well then, okay then. I look at my pumpkin to check on my turtle.
It's hanging out there. Timmy is asleep as well. Timmy's probably like just waking up, stretching, walking around the thing a little bit. Looks up at you with its tiny turtle eyes.
Cool. I just wanted to check in on him, make sure he's moving.
Probably dawns on you that Timmy has not eaten in a while.
Yeah, I was literally just thinking that.
Yeah.
Dorothy makes a mental note of that, like whenever she's next going to get food.
Cool.
To see if there's something that she can give to Timmy.
Yeah.
Okay, and then I guess I'll take the pumpkin with me, just because I kind of carry it everywhere with him and my flashlight. Sure. Yeah, then I'll go over and look at look at what Marley's doing.
Cool. Go over. You get a little bit of a better angle, and you see that it looks like she's holding broken glass or like broken like hard plastic. You know, it's kind of breaks off in that way, you know, that like glass or like hard plastic might break where it's like in kind of a shard. But whatever it is, it's a somewhat like kind of reflective material. And you can tell that with her other hand, she's kind of rubbing the base of the horns that are growing out of her head. And now that you have like this kind of angle on it, you can most certainly tell that they're much larger than they were the previous night. To the point where no longer do they kind of just look like the weird kind of like short nubs that were growing out and like starting to antler off. Like they now like look like full on like baby deer antlers.
Oh, fuck.
That's probably fine.
Just put some ointment on it.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
No problem.
Okay, wait. So where is she? She's on the other side of the tent, you said, but like, where are we in relation to like the entrance of the tent or like,
you guys are in like the back part of the tent. So like not really towards the entrance. And when I say she's like across the tent, like she's like maybe like 15, like not even 15. She's like maybe like 5-10 feet away from you.
Okay. I guess I'm just going to clock that. And then I'm going to go ahead and take a peek outside the tent.
Okay. You make your way over to the kind of slightly open flap of the tent, and kind of peeking outside, you see that the workers of the carnival are moving stuff around. You can tell that there is there's this mixture of restocking areas to prepare for when people start coming into the carnival. So there's a lot of moving around boxes, resetting games, doing like light maintenance on stuff, that kind of thing. But there's also a decent amount of gardening that is going on, where you can see that there are people with like a hedge trimmers. There are people who are like raking. There are people who are, you know, mowing the lawns. There is a lot of that is going on as well, alongside this like kind of preparation for the opening of the carnival again. And just like before, you notice everybody that is working is an animal of some kind. There are no human looking people around.
All right, I'm gonna go back over to Marley then.
Okay.
And in a way that like I am, I guess, actually gonna approach her this time.
Yeah. I think she hears you approaching and kind of very quickly like tries to like hide the piece of glass or plastic and turn around. It's like, oh, I didn't know you were awake. How are you? You good? How did you sleep, I guess?
I slept okay. Did you sleep okay?
Oh, yes, I slept fine. The bags were more comfortable than I thought they would have been.
Are your horns okay?
You say that and you see like her eyes kind of grow wide a little bit. And she goes, oh, yeah, they're fine. You know, they're a little bigger, I guess. But, you know, it'll be fine.
Did they hurt?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all. No, they don't hurt. Maybe we should wake everyone else up. You know, let's figure out what we're going to do today. You see, she very quickly kind of like
changes the subject.
tosses the thing to the side, like back into the side, and like a way to like kind of like so you don't see it, but like you, because you know that she has it, you very easily see it. And she gets up and like walks towards the rest of the gang.
Can I go? Can I find the little thing that she cast aside? Do I see like that she's broken it off or from something, or like,
yeah, you can
something else?
Yeah, you can go check it out. Yeah, when you like look over to like where it is, you see that it is it's definitely broken off of something. You would probably have to this let's see, this might be a roll.
Okay.
This might be a gander? Roll. Yeah, this might be a gander. Take a gander. You take a hard, long look around. Describe what you were looking into and roll plus noodle.
Okay. I got a 6.
Okay.
That's great. A failure.
you get, what's it called? You get plus 1 experience point.
Yay.
And you see the bit of broken piece, you can tell it's in fact glass. And when you're kind of looking around like trying to see where it came from, you see that off behind some boxes there is this broken popcorn machine. And it is, you can tell that, like, the glass, part of the glass is broken. And so you imagine, like, the glass came from that. But you also notice that, like, you can't quite tell how it broke. It might have, like, fallen over. Or maybe it just, like, you know, stopped working. And you don't know if she broke it off. You're not quite sure. But it seems like it hasn't been used in, like, quite a while. Because, like, on the inside of the popcorn machine, it looks like they're, like, cobwebs in it.
Dorothy immediately recoils from that then. and scurries back over to the group.
Okay. Around this time, I imagine Marley has done the, like, goes to Dakota, shakes her, and is like, hey, it's morning.
Not a movement.
Dakota?
Mm.
Dakota, are you okay? And Walter, I imagine the amount that she's like kind of shaking. Dakota now probably wakes you up just from like the vibration and like the weirdness of her voice.
What?
Dude, stop.
Oh, are you okay? It's morning.
And then Dakota kind of thing where like eyes are like to like slits. Huh?
It's morning. It's time. Are you going to get up?
Dakota kind of like very heavily rubs her eyes and then sits up in a sleeping bag. Yeah. What?
Are you, are we, I, well, sorry, I didn't, and Walter, you've gotten up, around this time, Dorothy, you're walking back over and you see, Elsie is just kind of sitting up. Like looking around, trying to look for where you were and sees you. And she kind of gives you a sleepy smile. And Marley goes, well, I thought, you know, you're going to figure out what we were, you know, going to do today.
Yeah. What time is it?
I don't know. I don't know. I just got up not too long ago myself.
Early.
Okay. And Dakota kind of gets up and, like, starts stretching.
Mm-hmm. Hey, look at this, guys. We went to sleep and we woke up in the same place. That's nice. It's always nice, isn't it?
Does that not always happen for you?
You know? No.
Oh.
Not,
Last time we woke up in the trunk of a car.
We did wake up in the trunk of a car.
That did happen.
It was a whole thing. Dakota had a gun for a little bit. It's
fine. We can skip that part.
Oh, were you all the ones that she brought to the school?
Yeah. Do you know who that was?
Well, yeah, that's, well, I mean, I don't know her name, but, like, she's pretty infamous, you know, around the Sublime, at least for, you know, the kids. We don't know her name, but we call her the Driver.
It's a cool nickname.
Yeah. And what does she do exactly, other than kidnap children?
She drives.
Ah.
Yeah, that's basically it.
That's like her two things?
Yeah. We think people say that she works for Principal Albert or maybe the Stranger or no one's really too sure. But yeah, all she really seems to do is bring kids to the school.
She kind of sucks at her job, then.
She did bring you to the school.
Yeah, I mean, she actually did it pretty good. The only reason we kind of got the upper hand is because we did did violence, I guess.
Okay.
Marley, what's Stranger? You mean her?
No, the Stranger is, he kind of runs and controls the Sublime. It's hard to say, really. No one really knows a lot about him, I guess, but he's the one when all of the weird stuff started to go down, that was probably him. He's the one that the statue in front of the school is of.
Oh.
Yeah, he makes the rules.
So he's like your mayor?
Yeah. The mayor, I guess. He's just in charge, you know?
I'd say he's a little better than that, or bigger. More like some kind of, you know, wrathful god or something.
Like the one that we learned about in Sunday school?
Uh-oh.
I ain't gonna touch that, but I'll say the, all the vines, that was him.
Oh.
He's the one who gives us all of our roles, gives us a place to be. In a way for us to understand who we are and, you know, what we're supposed to do. So I guess in a way he's kind of like a god. I never really thought of him like that, though.
Let's not give him that title.
Does that mean he could get us home?
He doesn't want to get us home. He wants to keep you here.
So he's the bad guy?
Probably, yeah. I would say...
I mean...
I would say... If you have to put labels on things, like...
I think it's not bad. I mean, without him, like, None of this would exist.
I mean, did you see what he did to the hall monitor?
Edgar did attack Principal Albert.
He was defending us.
It wasn't Edgar, sorry. I'm trying to remember.
It was Edward.
Edward, there we go.
Oh yeah, Edgar is sorry. The sheriff.
Is the sheriff. Sheriff, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Walter says, yeah, you know, I'm sure what he lays down works for some people, but you know, we happen to have opposing goals, I suppose. And in my view, that makes him the antagonist.
Dakota kind of turns and like kind of connecting some dots in her head and looks at Walter and goes, Walter, what is he capable of? Like, what, you seem to know a lot about him. What can he really do?
Walter, like, thinks for a minute, and I think he, like, kind of starts pacing. He's like, I don't really know. I don't understand him. I mean, he seems, sometimes it seems like there's nothing he can't do, but he doesn't always do it.
I didn't tell you guys this, but when we were at the sheriff's place, there was a phone, and I tried to call the Abbots, and I heard his voice, and he was talking to me. He said something, you're new here, and that it's gonna be fun now that we're here. And that voice is unmistakable. Like,
you talked to him?
Well, I didn't know at the time.
On the phone?
Yeah.
He usually does the, booming voice from all around kind of thing. But, you know, the phone's good too. That's probably not good.
I thought you didn't want to go home, Dakota.
Doesn't really matter what I want. It's my job to get you back home either way. Where I want to be doesn't matter.
Dorothy rounds on Dakota on that one and says, it does matter because we were supposed to stay together.
Well, we're together now and we're going to get back together to the Abbots and it'll be fine.
It's not fine if you just try to leave or give up whenever things get hard. I want to go home, and I want you to come with.
Dakota pauses for a minute, for sure.
If that's not what you want anymore, then I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Dakota kind of, like, gets on a knee, and looks at Dorothy and goes, if you want me to go home with you, the Abbots, then that's what's going to happen, okay? I don't care about whatever boogeyman is here. We're gonna get to the Abbots, and if you want me there, I'll be there. Okay?
But... Okay. But don't you want to be there too?
Yeah. The Abbots are good people.
I think so too.
We're gonna get back there. It's gonna be okay. I'll make sure of it. And she gives Dorothy a hug.
Yeah, I hugged Dakota back really tightly.
As you are holding onto Dakota, you can see out of the corner of your eye, Elsie looks sad. As the two of you kind of part from your hug, you all hear someone approaching the front of the tent, and you see the head and like neck and like kind of part of body of a large dachshund hound kind of float through the thing, kind of look around and see, God, what voice did I give them? Hey, I think that's it, yeah. Oh, I didn't know you kids were around. What are you doing in here? I'm just looking for some. And you see the body like kind of continues to stretch into the tent, looking around as they're like kind of going through boxes and stuff.
Ah, a fellow long creature.
Two long boys and me.
Two long boys.
Dakota kind of pats Dorothy on the back and stands back up, and it's like, we're just getting back onto the fairgrounds. Sorry.
Oh, well, no worries. You all are just in time, actually. The new attractions just opened.
New attractions? Like what?
Well, go on out and see.
Alright, do you need help carrying anything back to your stand?
Oh no, I got it. This is the box I needed. And you see they wrap their body around the box.
Oh my god.
Pick it up and then then start to retract out of the tent.
A strange image.
And give a little wave as they do.
Very Jake the dog-esque.
Walter is quietly jealous that they are long enough to do that.
Oh, man. Yeah. What do you guys do?
I'd say probably Dakota would step first and kind of pull back the flaps of the tent and blind everyone inside.
Yeah.
As you all step into the loading screen of the next
location.
You all walk out into a fresh morning at the Botanical Carnival. Very similarly, just to like before, it is this mixture of botanical garden, large hedges, beautiful trees, wonderful flora of all colors, shapes, and smells, some of which feel real, like things that you've seen before, and others feel more strange and unnatural, but beautiful in that kind of weird way. And like a mixture of like a carnival, right? You have the red and white pinstripe tents all around. You have the large Ferris wheel made out of wood and metal. And you also see that amongst the kind of like outer part of where like before it seemed like a lot of the tents were kind of put off in just like this like one kind of area, and then they're like off to like the entrance kind of area where there was like a handful of tents filled with like food and games and that kind of stuff, and then like there is the large Ferris wheel on one end of that, and like the rest is the botanical garden. It looks like more tents have kind of sprouted up, it seems, in a way. On like that outer part where there was more botanical garden, you see that there are more tents. There are more games. You see that like they are already kind of setting up for like that stuff to be used. Just by the smell of food being made and the way that people are beginning to prepare, it seems like the day for the carnival is just beginning. So what do you guys want to do?
I kind of want to, just because the dachshund mentioned it, I want to look around for something that's new.
Okay, cool. Are you taking a gander?
Yeah.
Or is there a different move that you're trying to do here?
No, I had to see if I have gander, and I do.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Okay, cool. You take a long, hard look around, describe what you're looking for, roll plus noodle.
Woo! Okay, that's a 12.
Ooh, awesome.
Wow.
Awesome. On a 10 plus, ask your GM two of the following questions, which they will answer truthfully.
Give me a second. I guess what here is not what it appears to be.
Okay. Awesome. What's your other question?
I can answer
this first one, and then based off of that, you know.
I almost want to say what is going on here maybe is more what I'm looking for. I guess what is going on here because I already know that they're like setting up for.
Yeah. Yeah. This will give you more information into.
Okay.
Than just like the that. So you're not doing what is. Wait. Okay.
First
question, what is going on here? The answer to that is, as you all are kind of walking around this carnival area, checking out like the new spaces, you get it like a brief glimpse at like kind of underneath one of these tents, like past like just like kind of the tarp portion of it, as like one of the carnival attendants are like going into one of them, and you can tell that the poles that is holding up this tent seem to be made of like wood and vine and like plant-like material, and you get the sense that this new area might have actually literally just grown out of the ground overnight.
Aha.
That's so cool.
That's so, like, man, in any other, like, setting, in any other world, I would think, like, oh, that's so whimsical and fun and wonderful. And now I'm like, this tent might eat me. I don't know. All right. Second question.
Mm-hmm.
I think I want to do what should I be wary of?
Okay.
Fair. Ashley, you know what? Good choice.
Okay. As you all are looking around, you know, you see that, and you're just like kind of taking in this space, like seeing like just how much of the like botanical garden has been like taken over, just like, because it's not like a bunch of new tents showed up. It's like 5 or 6 tents, but it's like expanded the space quite a bit. A lot of the botanical garden still exists, and the parts that have been grown in are still like blend in with the parts of the garden that was here before, right? It's very much in the same style and aesthetic of everything else. And as you're just kind of like looking out over the space of the botanical garden, probably just being like, how much further could this grow if it needed to do it? You see far off in the distance, like towards the end of the garden, over like by the edge of the tree line, at like the end of like where the end of like the garden is, you see kind of like the sheen and like the reflection of like light bouncing off of glass, what looks to be a large glass shed at the end of the gardens, almost like kind of like a greenhouse. And when you get a look at it, something just feels off.
I love non-distinct threats. That's always very it's very reassuring. I think maybe Walter points this out to probably Dakota. Says like, you see that greenhouse over there?
Yeah, what about it? I mean,
what do you make of that?
I mean, I didn't see it yesterday, did you?
No. I mean, I guess I wasn't looking too hard yesterday, but you know, I figured I
did you see it yesterday at all?
I don't think so.
Do you think that's important, or
I think we should stay away.
So stay away?
I don't, yeah.
What's a greenhouse gonna do? We'll just pick up some rocks. You know what they say about glass houses.
Yeah, they yeah. I mean, I don't think that's what the expression means, but
I mean, something, throwing rocks at glass houses, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit, I mean, I think it's like the opposite, maybe the opposite of that, but I get your point.
If you really think it's that important to stay away from, then we'll stay away.
I mean, if you want to go throw a rock at it, that's cool, but I'm gonna keep my distance.
Well, you've been here longer. Have you been to this carnival before, or do you know about this carnival at all?
I don't think Walter has been there. I think, would he know about it?
The carnival?
Yeah.
You might have heard people talk about the carnival before. Okay. Yeah, I think, yeah, if you feel like Walter hasn't been here before, then that's that.
Yeah, but I think he has not been here before.
Yeah, I think you've heard of it before, though.
Yeah. Yeah, he says, I've heard rumors, but never actually been to the place myself.
Okay. Do you know if anyone here can... I mean, where are we going again? Somewhere out in the boonies outside of town? Can anything here get us there, or are we just hoofing it?
I don't know. Are there any, like, vehicles around?
Here in the carnival? No.
Yeah, okay.
You have not seen any vehicles here.
We take one of the bumper carts, rogue.
Hell yeah.
Is there a horse we can befriend? Yeah. One that likes to steal things?
I mean, yeah. If we wait long enough, we can ride Marley.
Oh my god.
Did
you say that out loud?
No.
Okay, that's your one. Next time it is out loud.
Damn. None of that. I did not say that as Dorothy.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, cool. I was just checking.
But next time you did.
Oh. Dakota is going to kind of step away from Walter in like the little whisper session, and kind of everyone goes, what do you guys want to do? Let's take a vote.
I don't know what we're voting on.
I mean, what do we want to do today? I mean, we still have to get out to wherever Walter says that he knows we can get to, and we have some carnival to explore. Maybe we can find something useful.
In the carnival?
Yeah, I mean, the people here seem to know a lot, and they seem to have a bit of,
hospitality about them. Maybe some of them can help us.
I think we should get some breakfast. That's my boat.
I also want breakfast. You hear Elsie say.
Actually, that sounds pretty good. Maybe they have eggs. I don't know.
I can't fight with that. Marley, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm kind of hungry. I could go for some food.
Okay. Yeah. Let's find something.
Let's go find food.
Yeah.
Does any of the new tents have, like, food at all? Can we, like, see, like, little, like, signs that say what kind of food they have? Or, like,
yeah.
Is there anything new?
Yeah. I would say, let's see. Yeah, there are probably some new places.
What a Denny's just pops up.
A Waffle House.
An IHOP.
Oh, dude.
There is, I think there's like a caramel apple stand. Ooh. Pretzels. There's a big pretzel stand. You see, it's those like, it's like big, like comically large pretzels, you know?
Yes.
And they got it in like, yes. They've got it in like, you know, they've got salt, they got cinnamon sugar, they even got like savory, like a garlic parmesan pretzel. Nachos. You got like one of those places that'll like fry anything, where they have like a bunch of like their own stuff, but they're like, you bring something, we'll fry it for you, kind of deal.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Just a handful of grass.
Carnival rules.
We can fry it.
Okay.
And then the same stuff as before, right? Like corn dogs, funnel cakes, popcorn, cotton candy. Yeah.
Iced cream.
Ice cream, yeah.
Dakota goes, I mean, pretzels don't sound too bad. How about you guys?
I could go for that.
This sounds good. Or maybe an apple.
An apple?
You hear Elsie go, I want a caramel apple.
We can do that. We can get both.
You don't hear that.
Oh, shit, you're right.
I did say that I wanted an apple.
Yeah, you're right. So I'd be responding to Dorothy. Sorry.
Yes, that's smart. Get your fruit. It's probably good, right?
Okay. Let's get an apple and some pretzel.
And Dakota turns on her heels and kind of starts walking the group. And then turns back, like, as they start walking, go, Marley, are you okay with this? Do you want anything different?
No, this sounds great. I'm down for a pretzel and an apple. That's
awesome.
That's my grains and fruit for the day.
Awesome. And we just kind of keep trucking forward.
I'm
going to hang back to walk with Elsie.
Okay.
Because not been talking to her since this morning.
Yeah, you can tell she's a little sad. As you're walking next to her. You all get up to the stand and what fun and wacky characters are we gonna see today?
Start spinning a wheel.
Do they like share a stand?
The pretzel and the sure, why not? sure, why not?
Should be a giraffe, and he picks the apples fresh.
That's so good. That's so good. I'm not even gonna. Yeah, no, that's just good.
It's good, but also you don't need to be very tall to pick an apple from a tree.
Whatever. You can get the good ones. The good ones that are like high in the tree. You know,
the giraffe bends down to pick an apple from a tree.
Whenever he like advertises his pretzels, he like twists his neck. And, like,
yes.
Amazing. You see. Okay. Giraffe.
His head sticks out of the fucking tent.
Awesome. Okay, you guys walk up to this tent. You see there is a large giraffe person manning this station. There is there's like a big pot of like, you know, hot caramel to like dip the apples into. And you see there's like a big bucket of apples, and there's already like some apples that have been like made that are cooling. On like little stands on the front of the tent, and you see there's the giraffe person, like they're doing a lot of the work down like on the ground level, but their neck sticks all the way up through the roof of the tent. Next to the stand, where just so happens to be an apple tree of some kind. And as you all are approaching, you hear a voice from up above go, "Hello down there. Can I interest you in a caramel apple?"
One second, and Dakota kind of turns back to the group and goes, what do you guys all want?
I want to split a caramel apple.
with Elsie.
Okay, so Dakota's one caramel apple. You don't want a pretzel or anything?
I mean...
You might be hungry later. Do you want both?
We can just get a couple to share, right?
I want to make sure everyone gets something that they like. So I'll get a caramel apple for you and Elsie and a pretzel. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. Walter?
Yeah, pretzel sounds good.
Pretzel, you want a salt one?
I want the garlic parmesan.
Okay, so garlic parmesan. Marley, what do you want?
I'll do the cinnamon sugar.
Cinnamon sugar? Me too, that's a good one. I'll get that too. Do you want like any cheese sauce or anything? And you don't want any apples, anyone, or anything?
Oh, I'm good.
Well, you hear, you see Marley go, well, we're getting quite a bit. Do we have enough secrets for all of this?
Yeah, it'll be okay.
You sure?
Yeah, it's fine. I can cover.
You see, like, she does, like, the kind of questioning look. It's like, are you sure?
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Okay.
Dakota, and then Dakota goes, can we get one caramel apple, a garlic parmesan pretzel, a salt pretzel, two cinnamon sugar pretzels, another caramel apple, two cheese sauces, and two of the sugar of the cream sauces.
All right, sounds good to me. Hey, Benny, did you hear all that?
And you see on the other half of the tent, that's the pretzel one. There's a large frog man.
Yes.
Who is working the pretzel stand and goes, yeah, I heard him. And you see him like going to work to make the pretzels.
Well, for the apple, that's just going to be one secret. But you're going to have to talk to Benny about the price of them their pretzels.
Can I maybe split the cost between the two of you?
How do you feel about that, Benny?
Seems reasonable.
All right.
Benny goes,
well, for the four pretzels, that's going to be... two secrets.
I fucking love this guy. I don't know why. I really like this dude. I really like Benny.
And for the apples?
Well, that's gonna be an additional secret, so three overall.
Okay. And if I both tell you the same one, it'll count, right? It was a big one?
It'll count. Well, if it's big enough, it might count for multiples. But
okay,
you could, I suppose, one for all of them. So if you said one secret, it will count for one for both me and Eli, and then you would still owe another secret for the other pretzels.
All right, we'll see how it goes. And Dakota kind of like gestures and like leans into the both them for them both to come very close.
You see Benny kind of leans over and you see the long neck of Eli bend down from the top of the from above the tent with an apple in his mouth bend down over towards you as well.
Dakota like leans in and and kind of gulps. I don't like being a girl.
You see the two of them slightly lean back, look at each other, and then look back at you and goes, and they both like simultaneously go, huh. And there is from Benny's hand, Benny holds out their hand, clasps it, upturns it, and there is this like seed as large as Benny's hand, glowing with the light of like a light bulb. Like the other ones have been like kind of like, you know, kind of glowing, but like this one is like very visibly like there is a halo of light surrounding and emanating from it. And the two of them look at each other, look down at the seed and look back at you and says, this will cover everything. And you see he takes it into the tent somewhere, comes back, and presents you with all of the food, and Eli makes the apple and you get all of the food.
Dakota kind of takes it all in their hands, and you can tell like they're like fighting, like their eyes are starting to water, and they're like lips quivering a little bit, and like they're shaking a bit because it's, you know, the first time they've said that to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of and turns around at like the rest of the group and goes, "Yeah, I told you it'd be no problem."
Dakota, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Are you sure?
Let's eat up. Yeah, it's just a silly secret. We're okay. Come on, you guys have to be starving.
Walter's like a little...
Because we didn't hear the secret.
You didn't... Right? Yeah, none of you heard the secret, but all of you saw the seed that came from it.
Yeah, exactly. And Dakota's reaction.
Yeah.
We wouldn't see her reaction because she was still facing them.
Okay.
Maybe you could read it on her. It depends how perceptive you are.
That sounds like if you all wanted that, you would need to roll for it.
Ooh. God damn it. Ooh. Is Marley?
Do I have
roll
to roll
then?
To know what? Like I.
No. You don't
Dakota
have to.
With Dakota, a long time. Okay. No. Like I know Dakota. Cool.
That
was a really big secret, though. Are you sure you're okay?
Yeah, we're fine. Everyone has secrets. It's no biggie. Let's not fret about it. Let's not spoil our appetites. Come on. And Dakota kind of starts walking towards like some nearby benches.
Marley, I think, shares a look with Walter and Dorothy. Just kind of like the shared like concern, like, okay, like we all know something's wrong here.
Yeah. For sure.
And
Walter just says, yeah, let's go eat. And he goes after Dakota.
Yeah, Marley follows.
I turn to Elsie and I go, I don't think I have that many secrets. Do you think everybody has big secrets like that?
I don't know. I mean, maybe. Maybe it's a thing with that, like, as you get older, you just get more secrets.
That makes some sense. You've had more things to do then, so there's more secrets that would come of that. Do you have any secrets, Elsie?
I don't think so. You know everything about me.
Well, I wouldn't know it if it was a secret.
I guess. Do you have any secrets?
I don't think so. Maybe they're so secret that I don't even know about them.
Oh, maybe mine are like that too.
Whoa, that's really secret. Elsie, I'm really sorry if I made you feel excluded or anything earlier. I don't like being mad at Dakota.
I understand. She is your foster sister, so I get it.
Yeah?
Yeah. She kind of looks down a bit.
I just, no one else can see you, and so I have to be friends with other people too.
Yeah, I guess.
And I like Dakota at the end of the day, so I think you should too.
Not at the start of the day, not at the middle of the day.
Only at the end of it.
Only at the end of the day.
You see, she has like this very unconvinced look. Yeah, I guess. She starts walking off towards the benches.
I follow after her.
Cool.
Dakota kind of has all the food in her hands, and as everyone like finds their seats, she kind of takes like inventory of everything that she has, and she like looks over everyone and goes, "Okay, Walter, you have the garlic parmesan with here's some sauce for it," and hands it over.
Walter like takes it very hesitantly.
Marley, you had the cinnamon one, and it's so good. And hands like Marley and like the cinnamon dipping sauce. And then Dorothy, I got the two apples for you and Elsie, and I got you a salted pretzel. So you guys can have that, and hands it to Dorothy.
Thank you, Dakota.
Yeah, don't sweat it. It's all good.
I also take it hesitantly, feeling like it's like tainted food because of what we saw happen.
Marley also takes it hesitantly.
We're all like, okay.
And Dakota like sits down on the grass and starts like tearing off pieces of the pretzel and dipping it in the icing sauce. Mm-hmm.
Walter, I think, takes, like, two bites of his pretzel and then like stops and he goes up to Dakota and he just says, like pretty quietly, just says, can I talk to you for a sec?
What are you talking about? We're fine.
Look, I don't know what you're going through, and I'm not gonna pry if you don't want to tell me. That's fine. It's not my place. But I'm not pulling my weight here, and I'm sorry. Whatever you just told them. You don't have to give away any more secrets. I got the rest covered.
Walter, it's fine. You don't have to worry about it. It's not a big thing for me. I mean, it's not like these carnies are gonna like go tell anyone our secrets, and it's cathartic in a way just to get some things off your chest sometimes. Everyone has their difficulties, everyone has their secrets. I'm okay where I'm at, and I'm okay saying what I need to say. If you're not comfortable, you're not comfortable, and I can cover everything that we need to. We all have our secrets and we all have our times where we're capable of sharing them. It's okay.
Okay. Okay.
Now eat your pretzel. It's going to get cold.
Real quick.
Yeah.
You said it to Dorothy. I want you to say it to me now. Tell me you want to get back home.
If that's what Dorothy wants, then I'll go back home.
No, tell me that's what you want.
I think that's what I want, Walter. I think you know, just like anyone else, that we don't really know what we want. All we really have are vague ideas of what might be better than what other thing, or what might make us happy, or what might work out this time. I think the Abbots might work out. Whether or not I want to go there because I want to be there, I don't know. I think that right now all I really care about is getting Dorothy back home, getting you out of here, and helping Marley. And that's what I want right now. Where that takes me, I don't know. If it takes me back to the Abbots, then it takes me back to the Abbots. If for some reason I stay here, then I stay here. But I want to make sure everyone else is okay first. And that's what I want.
Walter doesn't say anything. He just like, I think he stares off into space. And after a while, he just starts eating his pretzel. He doesn't move. He just starts eating his pretzel in silence.
Dakota like gives him like a little like ruffle of his fur on top of his head. It's kind of like a little like.
Yeah. He says, okay. All right. That's fine.
What do you want, Walter?
I want to get you guys out of here. If I get you guys out of here, then I will have done something good with my life.
A little hypocritical for you to get after me for my altruism.
Hey, I've been here for a while. I can take it here, you know? I know the ropes.
You know Dorothy will have a cow if you don't come with us.
I'll do what I can. But, you know, if it comes to none of us getting out, or just you two, you know my choices.
I'll fight you on that one, Walter. Dakota takes like a big bite of the pretzel.
As Dakota takes a bite of this pretzel, you chew into something that feels like paper. And you like kind of stop for a moment. And as you like open your mouth to like kind of pick out what it is, you see there is like baked into this pretzel is like a large red ticket. That says, like, written in, like, it's a red ticket with, like, gold, like, lettering on it. And, like, it says, free ride on the Botanical Express.
Ugh! And, like, pulls out, and, like, like, crumples it and is like, what?
Marley looks over and is like, ugh. Ugh. What is that?
Some kind of ticket? And, like, you see, like, Dakota, like, spit out the rest of the pretzel, like, and, like, swipe in her face, like,
They put it in my pretzel, but it says something about the Botanical Express.
As you say that out loud, you hear someone nearby go, "The Botanical Express!" And like you hear that kind of like echo with like multiple people like, "The Botanical Express! The Botanical Express!" And you see some of the attendants are starting to like look around and like coming over towards you and says, "You have arrived on the Botanical Express?"
I guess. I don't really know what that means.
That means you get to ride the Botanical Express! And you see they all kind of turn in one direction. And they like turn towards like one direction, like off, like into like there's the tent. And like from a distance you hear, "Choo choo!" And the steam whistle starts to blow. And you hear the chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga of like of a steam engine start like echoing from like a distance, and from like in between like the curving like paths of the tents, you see what looks to be like train tracks beginning to like growing out of the ground of wood and vines connecting each other, and you see this small little like train engine, kind of like that you would see like at, you know, like the train at like the St. Louis Zoo.
Yeah.
I know Gus knows the train at the St. Louis Zoo.
Oh, I know the train at the St. Louis Zoo.
It's like you have a train at like Disney World or like any kind of amusement park where it's like small for that like rides around the park. One of those comes up. It is brown with like a kind of like green paneling and like gold like adornments like wrapping around it, and it's this like four car train. What animal is driving this?
Can I propose, just because I really like this image? Can I propose a walrus?
Absolutely, a walrus. You see a walrus wearing like a little conductor uniform.
God, I can't believe I didn't play this character.
wearing like a little conductor uniform, sitting in the front of the train, and it like comes and like the tracks grow like right alongside the bench, and like pulls up to it, and you hear, "Well, well, well, you've got a ticket for the express. The Botanical Express. Hop aboard!"
And then Dakota kind of looks at the group, like, "Is it just me?"
"Oh, no. Everyone can come. Well, all of your, like, group of people can come. Not everyone." And you hear some of the people off of the distance go, "Aw, dang, I really want to get on that train."
Dakota looks at the group and is like, "We're not doing this, are we?"
"Hey, Mr. Conductor, what's your name?"
"You can call me..." Give me a second while I go to my own thing.
Erwin.
"You can call me Frank."
"How's it going, Frank?" "Where does this train go?"
"Oh, it just goes about the garden. You'll be able to see all the... Think of it as like kind of a tour of the botanical gardens, being able to see all of the wonderful plant life that's grown here. And nobody knows the plants here like I do."
"Can we eat on there?"
"Oh, yeah, bring your food."
And the guy once again looks at the group and is like, are we doing this?
"Let's get on the train.
Might be fine.
It'll be cool."
The Marley looks at you and says, "I don't know. Seems like it might be fine."
"Come on, Dakota, let's go on the train."
Dakota kind of begrudgingly is like, "Okay."
I feel like worst case scenario, we can just get off.
How are you going to get off a moving train?
Now, if Kendrick, you can correct me if I'm wrong. If it's anything like the train at the St. Louis Zoo,
it goes pretty slow.
You can easily get off of it without any risk of harm.
Yeah, it goes like, what, like 5 miles an hour? Like, it's pretty slow.
That's enough to sprain your ankle.
Well, you could.
It's a risk you have to take sometimes.
Yeah.
You fail a roll, you're going to be limping the rest of the campaign.
Just do not sprain your ankle.
Yeah.
It's that easy.
Simply make a dex save. Just kidding.
I can't, as I mean, if we're just staying in the botanical gardens, then And we can eat while we're.
Come on, Dakota. Come on, the train will be fun. It'll be like that time we went to the zoo.
Yeah, but how about this time we don't throw up on the train?
Okay. I mean, I had a lot of candy that day, and I don't know, something didn't sit. But I feel fine now, and I'm not hungry anymore.
You promise?
I won't throw up.
Okay. Just this time, if you throw up, remember, aim outside of the car, okay?
Okay. I'm sorry, Dakota.
It's okay. You're okay. Let's get moving before they leave without us.
Okay. I'm going to take some of my apple, and I'm going to put it into my pumpkin to Timmy so that he has some food again.
Okie doke. He won't starve.
He will not starve on my watch.
So you all get, does it sound like, are you guys getting on the train?
Yes.
Woohoo, let's go.
Yeah.
You all get on to the train.
Housekeeping. Oh, hiya, it's Marcy, here to do some cleaning up. Thank you for taking a stab at our podcast. It really does mean so much. I know you're used to Kendrick being here, but don't worry, I took care of them. Lurking in the bushes or lurking on the timeline? What's the difference? Make sure to follow our social media for updates, art, and random fun moments from our sessions. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Tales Yet Told. And finally, thank you to B-Gay Roll Dice for breaking down our door and letting us join their lovely little family. There are a lot of great podcasts there you should all check out. Now, I gotta take out the trash, but y'all take care and be kind to yourselves. Make sure to stay hydrated. It's Judgment Day. The angels have descended from heaven, and they're here to wipe out humanity. We won't let them. In Roar to Heaven, join the agents of the Heavenly Engagement Legion as they wield the power of music as a weapon against these angelic invaders. Roar to Heaven is a high-octane, fast-paced, actual play of Blazing Hymn, inspired by Symphogear and Evangelion, loaded with anime intensity, featuring a brilliant cast of Forever GMs, including our one and only Kendrick. Roar to Heaven is now funding on Kickstarter for a season set to air in 2022. Something is wrong in the city of Astoria Heights, and the only ones who can set it right are a would-be starlet, a nun with strangely prophetic dreams, and a mobster on a divine mission. They know that a rift will open up in the city, utterly destroying it, and they know this because they've lived it more than once. Fate is dead, and they're the replacements. The Last Tapestry is a D&D 5e podcast featuring an all-LGBTQ cast, set in a homebrew world with a 1920s aesthetic. Find it on your favorite podcast app, or follow it on Twitter at The Last Tapestry to find out when new episodes drop.
Ready to get your hands dirty and stuff some creds in your pocket? Then get ready for Cyber Plus Punk Overload, the first official expansion of the award-winning sci-fi action TTRPG, Cyber Plus Punk. This game is powered by a super-condensed version of John Harper's Forged in the Dark system made specifically for action-packed one-shot sessions. Cyber Plus Punk puts you in the boots of a runner, living on the edge and stalking the shadows of a gritty, ultra-violent world full of megacorps, mercs, and pigs, all looking to f*** you over. And guess what? You've got one last run. Overload is a collection of 16 new scenarios that drop you into mega prisons, reality TV shows, time loops, Badlands, and even the Netscape. Plus, you get additional add-ons, including gear catalogs, new plug-in rule sets, and complete settings, all bundled into three sleek thematic packs. Ain't that just grand? And if that's not enough, if you back Cyber Plus Punk Overload on Kickstarter, you can even get an exclusive hollow foil sleeve, making it seamless to take your game anywhere you're going. Now what the f*** are you waiting for? Go to Kickstarter now and back Cyber Plus Punk Overload. And good luck, runner. You're gonna need it.
Hi, I'm Maia, and this is Maia's Game Room, a narrative actual play anthology featuring short-form, story-driven TTRPGs. Each season tells a new story using a different rules-light system brought to life with sound design, editing, and emotional-rich roleplay. So, if you love cinematic storytelling and character-driven drama, come check out Season 1, set in the haunting world of the Electric State RPG. Just search Maia's Game Room wherever you get your podcasts.
What's the order that you all get in? Because it's there are four cars that can sit two people.
Whoa. Okay. So like they. Oh. Okay.
Yeah. This is like a small you know person train.
Yeah.
Dakota gets nearest the conductor as she can get.
Okay. Yeah. For sure.
I sit with Elsie.
Okay.
So I'll go, I guess, next because I was bugging Dakota about getting on the train.
Okay. Cool. So sounds like Dakota's in the front one. The one behind her, is that where Dorothy is sitting?
Sure.
Okay. Dorothy and Elsie are sitting there.
Dorothy, do you have a window seat or no?
They're all window seats.
It's all window seat.
They're all window
seats. Yeah, that makes sense. That tracks.
But yes.
I'm going to send a picture of what this train looks like just so we all have the same image.
Yeah,
that's the train.
Oh. Yeah, that's
okay.
Okay.
I really like how large the conductors are.
Just picture a walrus sitting there. That's so good.
So good. Okay.
It is really good.
So,
okay, yeah, so I'll be the second one back.
Cool. I think Marley is going to sit up with Dakota. And then, Walter, you're small enough to technically sit in any of these or by yourself if you would like.
Probably to you, I have an empty seat with me.
Yeah, I think that actually tracks. I think you mm-hmm. would. I think you would just take the empty seat.
You take the empty seat, and then Elsie walks up to the train and is like, where am I supposed to sit?
There's room for all three of us. Right, Walter? You can scoot in.
Yeah, sure. Walter, like, scoots in so that he would be in the middle.
Yeah, perfect. See, Elsie? Plenty of space.
Okay. And she goes to sit. All right, everybody's in. Don't forget to keep your arms and legs inside the vehicle at all times and get ready for the most wonderful botanical express ride of your life. Woo! The train whistle goes and there's the chugga 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 as it like slowly starts moving, picking up to 5 miles per hour. And you all start going along this route. You see that the rest of the train tracks are starting to grow in front of the train as it's going and starts going off into the botanical gardens. It is this luscious area as you all are like kind of getting deep into like the dense foliage areas where it's like trees and like hedges that are like coming up above where all of you are. Almost it kind of is like feels like woods in kind of places where it's like that's just how much like plant life is here. As you're going along, Frank is just calling out like, well, if you look to your left, you'll see name plant here. And he's just going on naming the stuff. He's inserting a couple of jokes here or there. Very charismatic walrus.
Is this like Jungle Cruise, but it's a train?
Yes, exactly.
Amazing.
That's exactly what it is. While you guys are on this ride, is there anything you're doing?
Nah, particularly.
Okay. Anything you're asking
I wanted
Frank
to chat
or...
with Walter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Walter, you haven't been to the fair before, right?
No, first time.
Okay. Did Dakota seem okay to you when you talked to her?
I mean, you want the honest truth?
Yeah?
She seemed, I'm not always the best at reading people. I think she seemed okay, but whatever she said was, it wasn't easy to say.
It was a really big secret.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I don't know if I have any that big.
I don't know what kind of secret that could even be. I don't know. It makes me worried that Dakota's keeping a lot of secrets that I don't know about. And I don't want her to feel like she has to keep secrets from me.
You know how, maybe not always, but at least in the past couple of days, or maybe at least last night. I don't know. But think about all the times that Dakota has been there for you. You know, think about when she bought us all food. Think about when she threw herself between you and Carrie when Carrie was doing the stuff.
That was scary.
Yeah, it was. And you need to be there for her just as much as she's there for you.
How do I do that?
You listen when she's telling you about whatever. Even if you don't understand, you just listen and you love.
I do love Dakota a lot.
That's good.
I miss my sister, but Dakota makes it easier.
Yeah. It's good to have people in this world, you know?
Do you have any siblings, Walter?
Yeah, whole family. I kind of mess things up, though.
Is that what turned you into a weasel?
I don't think so. I think, you know what the worst thing I did in my family was? I ran away.
I know a lot of kids run away. That doesn't seem so bad.
I hated them, and they didn't deserve it. And I can't express to you how deeply ashamed I am of how I treated them. But that's in the past now, and I don't know.
I'm sorry, Walter.
You know what? This is right here, right now. This is good. This is good practice. This is exactly what you need to do with Dakota.
Oh, this is good. I'm doing good.
This is good. Yeah, you're doing great.
Okay.
You're great at being there for people.
I just want to do what Dakota does for me.
Yeah.
And I want to do that for you too.
Thanks, Dorothy.
You're welcome, Walter. I hope you get back to your family.
I hope so too.
As you all are riding along the express, the plants around you begin to take on this strangely beautiful and otherworldly look. There are colors that you never thought you would have seen in some of these plants. There are oranges and purples and golds and blues, flowers that grow along the bark of tall trees with leaves that aren't like any leaves you've seen. Each leaf branches off into like multiple different stems of leaf and like vines hanging off of their ends. There are thorned hedges, which at the each of each thorn is a small flower. There are grasses of colors you could have never dreamed of. And as you're riding along the express, the conductor continues to go on and go on about what each plant is and its history and how long it's been growing there and how long he's been taking care of them with all of the other people, and just going on and on about the beauty of this strange and weird place. And as you all are riding, Walter, you notice, as you're all just kind of like looking out at all the different stuff, you notice that where the tracks are leading you down this path, you see that gleam from before of light against glass. And you see in the near distance that greenhouse. And it seems like the train is heading that direction.
Oh boy. Are the train cars like close enough that he could kind of hop to the one that Dakota's in?
Yeah, they're like, yeah, 100% you can.
Yeah, cool. He does that and he says, hey, the greenhouse I was telling you guys about earlier that I thought we should maybe not be in or near?
Yes.
It's right there.
Okay. Do we get off? Do we get off now then?
Hey, Frank?
You kind of catch him like mid-monologue and he goes, oh, yeah? Yeah, what is it?
What's that greenhouse?
Oh, that's the caretaker's house.
Caretaker?
Oh, yeah, she's in charge of this whole thing.
Uh-huh. Frank, can we get off the train?
Well, the ride's not over.
Frank, we want off the train now.
Well, I'm sorry, but you got it. Come on, stick to it through the end.
We want off the train now.
And you see he turns towards you, but like not in a way where his body turns towards you, but in a way where his head spins on an axis and turns towards you and says, I said the ride's not over, kids. Wait until the end. And the train starts to pick up speed.
Okay.
And you guys are now starting to like move faster and faster, and it is quite obvious that the tracks are starting to direct you in the direction of the greenhouse.
Dakota stands up and goes, Frank, we want off now.
As you try to stand up, vines grow out from the bottom of the cart and pulls you back into your seat, restraining you. It does this for all of you, and including you, Walter, where you were like kind of standing on the edge, the seat that you were sitting in, vines grow out, grab you and pull you back hard against the seat and where you were before.
Dakota like uses all of her strength to try and rip out from the seat.
Is this a move that you were trying to do?
Probably steam.
Yeah, just a steam roll. Okay, cool. Roll plus steam.
11.
Ooh, an 11. Oh. You are like, you fight hard against these vines and you're able to snap one of them and free your hands loose. Your hands and your arms loose.
Can I start ripping the ones off my legs?
Yeah, you can start doing that. And
I'm sorry,
as
is this happening to everybody?
Yes, it is happening to everyone.
Cool. Okay.
Yep, this is cool.
This is
great. As you were pulling off the vines, you hear Frank go, ho, 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 what do you think you're doing, little lady? The ride's not over. And as he's saying that, his head is just like spinning around and around on an axis. And something that you hadn't noticed before, but you can see that his head is able to do that because it seems like his head or his body might not be exactly what you thought it was, where as it's starting to spin, you can see like the separation between where his head and his body are. There's like this weird tear, like if from cloth or like some kind of fabric.
Oh my god.
And that's weird.
Pretty weird.
I also start trying to, I'm trying to wiggle out of the vines. I'm trying not to panic.
You can give me a steam roll.
Sure. Why not? Just for the fun of it. That's a 7.
Okay. On a 7. You are slowly like pulling up and off of the vines holding you down. And as you do, you notice on the base of the cart, like where like your feet are, you start seeing like small insects starting to crawl out. Like a lot of them.
These
weird eight-legged insects, spiders.
Starting
to crawl up, and there's lots of them. Dozens of them starting to crawl up as you were pulling your way out of.
Dorothy starts screaming. A lot of short, high-pitched screams.
Dakota looks back and sees Dorothy's, hears Dorothy's scream and goes, and looks to Frank and goes, the ride's over when I say it's over, and sprints to try and pull like the emergency brake.
In order to do this, you're gonna have to jump from your cart up to the front one to be able to reach to it.
Okay.
So that is going to be do we wanna call this, we can call this a cause mischief roll if you would like.
Either that or steam up to, that's your up to your discretion.
Okay. Let's call this a cause mischief because this has more of a hard mechanical benefit if you do well on it.
Yeah.
Than just like a vague steam roll. So yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
So you come up with a scheme. This is just like going to the front, like trying to pull on the thing to stop it. Describe your plan, which you already done. Roll plus noodle.
6.
Oof. Okay. You get so you get an experience point, first of all. Second of all, you like jump from the one cart into the next. You aren't able to like quite fully make it. You make it like onto like the edge of it, and like you're like holding onto it, like make it to the point where you're not quite falling off, but you're like holding on, like it's possible you could fall off, but you're like also like right face to face with Frank, and Frank's head stops rotating and like turns, pivots down towards you and says, the ride's over when I say it's over. And from underneath the seam of his head, where his head meets his neck, hundreds of spiders spill out from it and start crawling over you, and they start, like, you can, like, feel them crawling and starting to bite. Take one harm.
Okay, Walter's gonna try to break free of the vines. That's step one, I guess.
Okay, give me a steam roll.
That's not his strong suit. That's a 7.
A 7? Okay. You start weaseling your way out of it. You kind of slip through the vines. Nice. as they're pulling at you right next to Dorothy. And as you do it, you all are beginning to enter the greenhouse. You see the doors of the greenhouse open as you all are approaching, and the front of the train goes through the doors as you do. But you are free.
I think the next thing that Walter's going to do is, like, and I don't think this is, like, the kind of thing that he usually does, and I don't know what, if any, move this would be. I think he's just, like, I think he's starting to attack these spiders. I think he's just, like, going full animal, like, weasel tearing and shredding and biting at these spiders, trying to get them.
This seems like you're trying to do the hurt roll. The hurt move.
The hurt move.
When all else fails, you can hit something. Describe how you attack and roll plus steam.
Sure.
If you don't have this move, which it sounds like you don't, you take -2 to it.
Yeah, wow. That leaves not a very good odds of success.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's gonna do it anyway.
Okay.
You know, gotta follow the narrative here. Shh, oof, man, that is it's a 10 minus 3.
Oh.
It's a 7.
Jeez.
I mean, at least
it's still a success.
Okay, awesome. You were doing this at what again? At the spiders and stuff?
At the spiders, yeah.
Okay, cool. You start doing this. You, like, start, like, clawing and biting at the spiders as, like, Dorothy, you're, like, trying to, like, like, I imagine, move as far away from them as possible. Just, like,
recoiling. I, like, got out of the vines, and I'm, like, standing on the seat. Like, if there's, like, those poles that, like, you know, hold the top up, or, like, I'm holding on to that, and, like, yeah.
Yeah. Elsie is similarly, like, screaming. There were, of course, no vines that, like, restricted her, but, like, she, you know, what does she do? She is similarly, like, crawling, like, to the back and, like, trying to, like, not be near these spiders, screaming at the top of her lungs. And you're going at it, Walter. On a 7-9, you do one harm, but your target immediately retorts. So I think what happens is you, like, start clawing, you're biting at these spiders, you get rid of a lot of them, and then as you're fighting all of them, you're seeing, like, you're, like, you know, they're not, like, really biting you that much or anything, but it takes you a second to realize that they're starting to spin webs, and now, like, as you're fighting them, like, you're becoming, like, entangled in these webs, unable to move.
Cool. I would like to reach into my pumpkin and grab that big slice of apple that I had in there, and I'd like to I don't know, I in Dorothy's mind, she's like, it's something sweet, and bugs usually gravitate towards those sort of things, so she's going to put that, she's gonna, like, throw it to, like, the other side of the train.
Okay.
In hopes that, like, some of the spiders leave, and then I want to try and get up toward Dakota.
Okay. Sorry. I guess this sounds like a cause mischief roll.
Okay.
You come up with a scheme that could, yeah, this works. I describe your plan, roll plus noodle.
Okay. Okay. It's a solid 2, because I take a -2 to it, and I got a 4. Okay. So.
Well. Amazing. That's a pretty small number.
Yeah.
on a two. So you toss your apple, like trying to get it, and it just goes like right off of the train, off of the train. And you, at this point, like you throw it off, and like now you all are fully into the greenhouse, and you realize that the greenhouse isn't so much as a greenhouse as much as it is the entrance to what is a tunnel. And the tunnel starts going underground. So you go through the doors of the greenhouse and you're starting, and like there is a slant, and you like, there is like this sudden turn as you all like boom and like are starting to go downhill on this train, and it's speeding up even more. And around you, there's like the lights of the train that are at the front that are kind of illuminating. And I imagine there are probably some lights like along the side of the train as well. And just around you, you are in this burrow that is covered in spider webs. Like this place is a full-on funnel web. And you
no.
all are like full on in someone's domain, and are like just like completely, like you guys are underground now, heading downhill. And I'm imagining on that six, I think, you know, you toss it, and as you're tossing it, you kind of lose. On that two, you lose your grip. You fall, like you slip and fall like into the seat, but that's where all the spiders are. And now all the spiders are all over you, and you can feel their creepy crawly legs as they're crawling all over your legs, slowly making their way into your clothes and then up your body, crawling, and you can feel them like starting to dig their way in. Take one harm.
Oh my god.
Dakota, Dakota, what are you doing?
Dakota's like screaming, being bit by spiders, like in fucking like just a pure adrenaline rush, and rushes, like tries to like gain her balance on top of like that train that like she sort of made it to, and like just Dakota sees red and tries to, and is like scrambling to try and rip off Frank's head.
Oh, okay, awesome. This sounds like it might be hurt.
Bottle up.
Oh, bottle up. Oh, okay. I like it. You can only keep your feelings suppressed for so long before you explode. Roll plus steam.
That is a natural 7 plus 3 steam plus my harm value, so 11.
Damn.
The harm value, you'll add your harm value after bottle up.
Okay, so 10.
Yeah, so it's still a 10. So on your next move, you'll add the...
I'll get a plus one.
Yeah, okay. And you also heal the one harm right now.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you'll heal the one after you do your next move. And that sounds like you're trying to...
Yeah, okay.
And that sounds like you're trying to hurt Frank. Because you're tearing his head.
Yes.
Off. Yeah. So roll plus steam, plus one. Do you have the move hurt?
No, so it'll be a minus one.
It'll be minus two. So if you don't have it, it's minus
plus one.
But
yeah,
but
so just minus one.
But then
yeah.
It'll be plus
yeah,
and well then minus one. So just a plus two because my three steam also.
Yeah, exactly.
So it hurt plus two.
Correct.
Okay. 12.
You do one harm and your foe does not act for another turn. Yeah, you like climb up and onto it. You grab like the top of his head, and you just fling it off into this cavern. You see it get caught in the webs. The spiders that were in the head are like crawling along the web, but they are far behind you now as the train is continuing to rattle on down these tracks. Awesome. Amazing. You see that Marley is has like just gotten out of her vines and is like scraping off like spiders off of her, and she's like, "We gotta stop the train."
Dakota yells, "Goes, hold on, everyone!" and just pulls the e-brake, fucking like just as hard as possible, and like kind of like hunkers down and like grabs like whatever like she can.
Okay, awesome, absolutely amazing. Okay, everybody, roll. I'm trying to see if there's another move here that this could be. I don't think it's.
Could be brace yourself.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what's going to happen. This is, so yeah, everybody, because of the e-break, all of you have one harm coming your way. So make the brace yourself move if you want to kind of like brace yourself to kind of stop that from happening. So you prepare yourself for incoming harm.
Might as well.
Roll plus steam.
Is Walter not secured in place by spider webs?
No, because they weren't securing you to the thing. They were securing you to
yeah,
yourself.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
I'm going to make also, the narrative decision that I fell into those spiders and stuff on like one of the benches. And yeah. I'm too scared and freaked out that I don't have any sort of headspace to even think about bracing myself, so.
Okay, fair enough.
Hey, you guys want to know something wild?
What?
You know what Walter gets on his brace yourself roll?
What?
A one?
He gets a zero.
Amazing.
I rolled a 3 and I have minus 3.
Amazing. Dakota?
11.
The one person.
This makes sense. This makes sense, though.
This checks out, yeah.
Okay, I know exactly how this happens. You all are reaching.
Wait, what about Marley?
Marley doesn't roll.
Okay, wait. I should roll because then I could fail and get XP.
How does I mean, yeah, if you want to.
I'm just saying, like, I should.
All this power gaming.
I know, it's dumb. Like, I will fail most likely. Like, if it's steam.
Roll plus steam minus 2. Yeah, if you don't have. Yeah, or do you have brace? Do you have brace yourself?
I do have brace myself.
Okay, so you don't get that additional minus 2.
Well, yeah, it's a 4, so.
Okay, awesome. You do get experience points, so that's great.
I'm sorry.
Awesome. Marley does not make this roll because I don't roll dice. And so whatever I say happens to her is what happens.
Marley dies.
I don't like you having that kind of power.
Okay. Here it fucking is. Dakota, you're in the front. You pull on the e-brake. The gears lock themselves. You hear the scraping of metal against the wood. You see sparks beginning to fly off the ends of it. And you guys were going down the hill so fast that what happens is that the back of the train starts going, like, take the momentum carries and it starts coming off of the tracks and the train starts to flip over. And you are holding onto this e-brake, you're holding onto the side. Dorothy, Walter, Marley go flying out of the train. And you all are like watching, like there's this moment of slow-mo where you all are like watching yourselves fly through the air in this tunnel filled with spider webs. Like this, are you all familiar with what a funnel web looks like?
Stop.
Is it like that thing from Coraline?
I don't remember Coraline very well.
I can share. I don't know if you want to see it, Hilda.
Probably not.
Imagine like a cone that goes into a hole in the ground.
It's like Coraline. Yep. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. So it's like basically it's a tunnel full of spider web, and you guys go flipping off, and you're watching as parts of like gears and stuff of the train go flying off, sticking into the web. Walter and Dorothy, you all take one harm, and you all go flying into the web and like sticking to it in various parts, and then like the train cars go like flying off into like deeper into the tunnel, sticking in places. You hear the cacophonous like banging and slamming of pieces into the tunnel, leaving Dakota. You are still in the front car. It is grinded to a stop. The lights still on, illuminating part of the cavern in front of you. Around you are just bits and pieces of this train that have fallen apart and are like stuck in the web. You hear the groans of agony from Dorothy, from Walter, from Marley, as they're all like stuck in the web, struggling to get out. And from deep inside of the tunnel, you hear chittering. tiny itsy bitsy chittering. And you hear as tiny little feet along stone, along wood, and along vines make their way from deep in the tunnel towards you. And with the light of the train in front of you, you can see small black specks slowly making their way up and around, covering the entire circumference of this tunnel, slowly making its way towards you. But that is not the worst thing. Seeing all of these spiders slowly beginning, and I mean hundreds upon hundreds of spiders slowly making their way here, that is not the worst part. The worst part is when the lights of the train illuminate the glossy, large, black eyes of a creature making its way towards you. You see four large, gangly limbs creeping out from the darkness in front of you. And they aren't the carapace that you would normally expect from a spider. It is skin stretched along the lengths of large arms stretching to their breaking point. You can see bits of black streaks of where eventually an exoskeleton may be, but they aren't there yet. You see fingers on each hand that split into two talons on each of the fingers as they are slowly making its way. You see tufts of hair-like spines along the arms and legs of this creature as it slowly makes its way towards you. And as you get a better look at it in the light, you see that the most of this body seems like it was human at one point, but not quite anymore. You see what looks like maybe a uniform, a brown uniform, similar to that you've seen before. And you see as these arms and legs maybe spanning about 10 feet in length, with skin stretched over it, and you see the large head of this beady-eyed girl. You see reflectionless in its large black eyes and six other eyes that round her head like a crown, and a mouth covered in a large mandible-like jaw slowly make her way towards you. You see she gets close, walking along her web, eyeing you curiously. The chittering noises of the other spiders around as they wait to see what she has to say. And she looks at you. She's maybe 10, 15 feet away from you, just staring. And you hear,
"You are the one. You are the one with the secrets."
And that is where we're going to end this session.
No.
Kendrick, this is the worst day of my goddamn.
Come on. Absolutely. Please, Kendrick, fucking please.
Be gay.
Roll dice.
an LGBTQIA actual play podcast network.